Good afternoon and welcome to the Joint Committee Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today is June 20th, 2017. And today we will be holding a public hearing on Senate Bill 106 relating to public accountability and administering the public records law. Before we get started, we have a number of people that are signed up to do testimony. Look like everybody's in favor of this bill. But let's kick it off with the LFO. Staff?
Mr. Co-Chair and Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, this Senate Bill 106, as the A and Gross version, creates the Office of the Public Records Advocate. It also creates a Public Records Council that helps determine who the advocate should be, as appointed by the governor. And the advocate has some dispute resolution responsibilities, as well as some responsibilities to help agencies determine, you know, the best methods for receiving public records requests, identifying the existence of records responsive to requests, and gathering, disclosing responsive records, and helping them with fee estimates, et cetera, and surveying, and then as well as reporting to the legislature.
Okay. Well, since we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing on SB 106, and we have a number of people. When I call your name, please come forward, and before you start speaking, please identify yourself so that we can have a record that you are actually here. The first one is Pete Shepherd, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Pete Shepherd. I'm retired. I live in Sisters, Oregon, and I'm appearing on nobody's behalf except my own. I'm in favor of Senate Bill 106, A, as you have it before you. And I'll let others speak to some of the more substantive elements of the bill itself, but I want to address myself particularly to what I understand is a potential alternative to aspects of Senate Bill 106, and that's an initiative announced by the Secretary of State, which I admire and think will be very useful if Senate Bill 106 does not make it through the process. But I think the committee would be ill-advised to treat that alternative as sufficient as an alternative to the printed bill that you have before you. And let me briefly explain the reasons why I think that is the case and why, in my judgment, Senate Bill 106A still merits the investment that you're being asked to make of state funds to make it possible to do this pursuant to statute. And there are really four reasons. The first three relate to the dispute resolution component of Senate Bill 106 that your staff has mentioned. And this addresses the part of a public records request at which a lot of friction can arise between a requester and an agency. And the bill aims to set up a system whereby that friction can be ameliorated before it reaches the expense and difficulty of a formal petition to the Attorney General's office, for example, in the case of a state agency, or to a district attorney's office in the case of a local government. And there are three reasons why I think the bill is superior to the rule-based alternative that has been proposed. The first is that the rule-based alternative is, of course, limited to the scope of an administrative rule and is made and can be unmade at the discretion of the rulemaking official, in this case, the Secretary of State. I don't doubt at all Secretary of State Richardson's commitment to open governance, and this is not a discussion of how he individually would administer that discretion. But the fact is, because the alternative that's potentially before you is proposed as a rule, it has the impermanence of a rule and can be undone under the administration of a secretary in the future who wouldn't have Secretary Richardson's commitment to open government. And secondly, I think that participants in a dispute resolution process, any such process, sometimes need an incentive to participate in good faith. And Senate Bill 106 provides that incentive in the form of a penalty, if you will, if the public agency, the state agency, that's participating in the dispute resolution doesn't participate in good faith. And the bill authorizes the public records advocate, the officer responsible for these resolutions, to make a determination that the public body has not participated in good faith. And if that determination is made, Then the public agency is responsible for the attorney's fees and costs of the requester, if there are any at that stage of the proceeding, and subsequently, presumably, in the case, even if the agency ultimately ends up prevailing in the dispute. A pretty powerful incentive to find a way to resolve the matter informally at an early stage. And an administrative rule can't create that same incentive, can't impose that consequence on a public body that participates in bad faith in a rule-based mediation. And the third reason relating to the dispute resolution factor that I think Senate Bill 106A is worthy of the investment is that 106A includes the duty of coming back to this assembly with recommendations from the public records and council that was referred to by your staff. A broad-based entity with many perspectives on the public records law, including media and citizen and agency responsibilities. Those duties are assigned under Senate Bill 106A to the Public Records Council, and those recommendations are to come back here. Under the rule-based proposal, it's the archivist alone who has the duty of making those recommendations, and though I suspect some of you may in your heart of hearts wish that you were a subcommittee of one from time to time, I think you might also agree that the quality of your recommendations is improved by the fact that you have as many different perspectives as you do on this committee. And so it is, I think, with the Public Records Council. I think that gives it a significant substantive advantage over the individualized recommendations for law improvement that would come from the archivist office. There is a fourth and final reason, and then I'll be done with my presentation, that I recommend to you 106A over the rule-based alternative, and it relates to the insulation of the dispute resolution advisor, the dispute resolution person, from political influence. And this is partly based on my experience at the Department of Justice for many years and also as temporary head of DEQ. And I think it's fair to say that individualized public records requests often have a political significance that goes beyond the four corners of the specific request. And in the administration of any dispute resolution process, one of the kind of the most important qualities is that the person administering that not have a prejudged outlook on the dispute that they're responsible for helping to resolve. And under Senate Bill 106A, the officials charged with conducting those resolutions are insulated from the potential of prejudgment by political influence, whereas under the rule-based alternative, there's relatively less insulation. That insulation comes in the bill in four ways. The public records advocate under the bill who would be conducting these dispute resolution matters is appointed to a fixed term of office, whereas the archivist serves at the pleasure of the Secretary of State. The public records advocate under the bill is subject to Senate confirmation, whereas the archivist is a direct appointment of the director of the secretary. The public records advocate under 106A is selected from a pool of candidates that are not selected by the appointing authority, namely the governor. The initial pool of candidates is selected by the council and advanced to the governor for the governor's consideration, at least until the Public Records Council sunsets, which it does under the bill in 2021. And finally, the officer in charge of dispute resolution under the bill is protected by for cause removal from office, whereas the archivist does not have that protection. And once again, I want to emphasize that I know the archivist as well as and I've observed her performance for many years. I don't have the slightest doubt that she would be independent and would exhibit the qualities of independence that you need in a dispute resolution person. But we're, after all, creating a system for a much longer period of time than any one officer. And so I'm hopeful that you will favor Senate Bill 106A.
Sir, any question, Representative Nerman?
Thank you, Chair Manning. So thanks for your testimony. So I got a couple of little questions. So first of all, have you ever asked for a public record, and what was your experience with that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nierman, I have. I was in private practice for a number of years after I left the Attorney General's office, and I used the public records law on behalf of clients, and I had a mixed experience. We had good responses, prompt responses in some cases, and not so prompt and somewhat obstructive responses in other cases. And I think what that illustrates is that this law, one would hope that you could just say in the law what you want the agencies to do and be done with it and not have to have any other superstructure to help effectuate your intent. But really, because this law is, it's not unique, but it is so frequently requires agencies to make judgments about where, for example, a balance of public interest lies. Does the public interest in disclosure predominate over the public interest in non-disclosure that's represented by whatever a potential exemption would be? And it also delegates a huge amount of discretion to the agency in the sense that even if an exemption applies, the agency is not compelled to assert it. And in fact, the best practice is not to assert it unless it actually causes a problem. The reality of the administration of this law is that effectuating your intent at the individual decision-making level is not going to be friction-free. And that's why I think having this kind of an outlet where a person who's made a request can quickly go to an official who can bring some leverage to bear on the dispute and get a quicker resolution than would be necessary from, for instance, threatening litigation.
Thank you. Can I follow?
I
got a new line. I'll defer to the senator if you like.
You mentioned, Mr. Shepard, thank you, Mr. Chair, that the public records advocate would be able to make a determination of the folks acting in good faith. On what criteria and what is your prophylactic against political influence at that point?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, the protections against political influence arise at the stage of appointing the right person to be the public records advocate, a person of independent inclination, and also knowing that that person is not, their job is not dependent upon making a correct or incorrect decision in any given case because they're protected by for cause removal. So the bill, is in contrast to the rules, institutionalizes a system in which that person is intended to be independent of political influence in any particular case. Now, they may still make errors, including the error of using, you know, improperly introducing some political consideration into the matter. But I don't know of any system other than creating one where you insulate the person from political appointment in terms of the political consideration in terms of the continuation of their job. I don't know that we can do more than that to ensure the proper and impartial discharge of that person's responsibilities.
Follow up. What I've heard you say, and I'll paraphrase, is that there are no sideboards on the advocate's ability to determine good faith. It is simply up to hiring the right person.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, that's right. I didn't answer your question directly. The legislation does not provide those, and we frankly have to look to the good faith of the person who's selected for that office to make a sound judgment about that.
Thank you. So one of the things that I think is driving this legislation is the previous governor and some of his behavior around public records. And it seems to me kind of odd and kind of troubling that this whole process would be kind of governor-centric. You'd think there would be like a kind of a tendency to kind of make it non-governor-centric. So I think I counted six of the members of the board are appointed by the governor, depending whether or not you count the DAS nominee as a governor one, and even the legislative ones that are appointed. And I think the legislature doesn't really have much in the way of public records. So I don't know. I guess we do, but there's several opportunities to make it less governor centric. Does that trouble you, or am I seeing something that I shouldn't be seeing? Or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nierman, I understand the concern, and I've certainly heard that before. And I have two responses to that. First, as to the public records advocate who chairs the council that you're referring to. So the person in charge of helping to set that council's agenda and so forth has the protections from political appointment that I've just referred to and discussed with Senator Johnson. The second thing is that, you know, this may sound Pollyannish in a way, but I guess I can indulge that, being retired and not representing a particular client or anything. But, I don't think that's the way – I don't really think that people on an advisory commission or a board of this kind, I don't think they really, for the most part, behave as though they are obligated to represent the views of whoever the appointing authority was at the time, in part because it may not even be the same governor, for example. But I think my experience with such things is that people are – the reason that we define in this statute and in others a whole array of different interests from which these people are drawn, which is part of the statute and part of the reason that I'm confident that there will be a variety of views. But the reason we do that is not because we think each of those persons is going to go back and poll the publishers and say, well, I'm going to do what a majority of the publishers want to do. Rather, we have somebody who represents that aspect of the media because we want that idea, that perspective on the law to be represented, not a particular preordained idea about how a particular thing will come out. And so I guess I have confidence in the Oregonians who would be appointed here not to do that, not to be representative only of the governor's interests, for example. And this will be, of course, a very open and transparent, if you will, process. So I think if that were to enter into the deliberations of the council, if it were to become overtly responsive to a particular governor's interests, I think that would be pretty obvious and subject to the same kind of checks and balances that we have seen brought to bear on public officials before.
If I can just comment on that. So I'm inclined to agree with you that most people are honorable, and just because I was appointed by the governor doesn't mean I'm going to just take the governor's agenda and run with it in an unethical way or anything like that. So I agree with you on that. But it's kind of more of a matter of perception, I think. And it seems unfortunate that this bill kind of gives up on that. I can think of a lot of different ways to organize that council there that would at least give a perception that things were being done on the up and up. You know, like we had just recently, I hope I don't get some of the facts wrong, but Governor Brown just dismissed a bunch of people on the Environmental Council, and there was all kinds of speculation going on there, and I don't know what really happened there, but the perception's not healthy for the way to run government. So anyway, that's just my comment on that part of the law.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Any other questions for Mr. Shepherd? Thank you very much. I'm going to do this a little bit out of order right now. So I want to call Emily up for her testimony.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, and members of the committee, thank you for having me here today. My name is Emily Matisar, and I'm the Government Accountability Attorney in the Governor's Office. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak to SB 106, the Governor's Government Transparency Bill focused on improving the public's access to public records. I prepared written testimony, but because Pete and the LFO staff went through most of it, I'll be brief. I just want to note that our office has worked extensively with various stakeholders, including those who came to speak today, all in support, it sounds like, to arrive at the A. Engrossed bill before you. And I am confident saying that this is a value add to the state's public records system. I believe that along with Senate Bill 481, House Bill 2101, our bill, Senate Bill 106, represents the most significant public records law reform since the Public Records Act was passed in the 1970s. Governor Brown is passionate about Senate Bill 106 because the Public Records Advocate and the Public Records Advisory Council will play a key role in addressing the issues that exist in the law today and also establish a system to continue addressing new issues as they arise in the future. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Questions? Okay, no question. Thank you very much. Next is Rob Beauvais. Rob, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Mr. Co-Chair. Co-Chairs, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Beauvais, legal counsel for the Association of Oregon Counties, here in favor of Senate Bill 106. I can actually cut mine fairly short. By saying this, I adopt lock, stock, and barrel the comments and testimony of Pete Shepard. We did not coordinate in advance, but he covered about, 80% of the points I wanted to make, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. I have a few more things to add real briefly. I should also let you know that I've been a county attorney in one capacity or another for the last 25 years. I've handled public records requests. I've issued public records requests, and most notably, I've probably processed and issued all of the public records orders on petitions in Lincoln County for the last 25 years for four district attorneys, including myself. Just touching briefly on a few items that were left unsaid by Mr. Shepard. Great question from Senator Johnson. Actually, the good faith determination by the advocate is subject to review by the circuit court, and that's built into what you have in front of you in Senate Bill 106. So there is that review process for someone adversely affected by such a finding. I would say that Senate Bill 106 four additional things I'd just add real quickly to what Pete said, why this is important beyond what the Secretary of State is proposing to do by administrative rule, and I applaud the Secretary for doing those things. But my take is if we're going to do this based on the Indiana model that the task force at the Attorney General's studied, then we ought to do it right. And Senate Bill 106 is about doing it right. It's about funding additional staffing resources. I know that's additional bureaucracy, but if we're going to do it right, let's do it right and have people that are dedicated to doing this. There are a few things that you just simply can't do by administrative rule that this bill does. I'll give you a couple of examples. Making the Mediation Act applicable and making it mandatory that people participate. Administrative rules simply can't do that. Confidentiality. Many times in the process of handling a public records petition and issuing an order, I direct the public entity to deliver to me for my in-camera confidential inspection the public records that are in dispute to see whether I agree with the city or the special district about the exemption they're claiming. And you have a statute on the books in ORS Chapter 192 that extends confidentiality to that document. So I can look at that without it becoming a public record that I then have to disclose. The Secretary of State's rule purports to kind of bootstrap another statute into that, but if I was an attorney representing an entity in mediation under those rules, I would not have any confidence that that material that I would turn over to the mediator, in this case the state archivist, would be protected from a public records request, thus nullifying the whole purpose. So there are things that you simply have to do in statute. Granting a public records exemption is one of those to facilitate mediation in these processes. So I agree with both of the witnesses before that this is a lot of stakeholder involvement. I think we've got a really good solid bill in front of you. I know this is a tough budget time, but this is one of the three legs of the stool for public records reform that we've put together in addition to Representative Huffman's House Bill 2101 and the Attorney General's Senate Bill 481. It would be lovely to get all three of these bills passed this session and really tune up Oregon public records law. Thank you.
Questions? Senator Johnson.
Mr. Beauvais, you've been a DA, and there is a process now that if there is a turndown on a public record, that there can be an appeal to the DA and then on to the courts. How is that process inferior to this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, what Oregon really lacks, and I call it the Indiana model, but other states have it.
Pardon me, what?
Indiana model, because that's the one we studied the most, and it seems to make the most sense. Actually, the state archivist, she presented that model to us, and then we did some research. What that model really is, what we have in statute right now is an adversarial process. So I have 7 days. So if I get a public records petition, and I just got one last week, I have 7 days to issue an order. I send basically a show cause note to the city saying, show me why I shouldn't order you to disclose that records. It's an adversarial process. It's not a conversation. And so what this bill does is it provides a missing mediation process, something less than fighting it out in front of the DA, fighting it out in court, something less than an adversarial process, a true mediator to explain to people and to talk to folks and work it out in an informal way. That's what we're missing right now, and that's what this bill does.
Any other questions? Mr. Co-Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. How often do you think the dispute resolution would be needed?
Mr. Co-Chair, that's a darn good question, and I don't know that I have a really good answer right now. I can tell you that Indiana, I believe, has 3 FTE for the entire state to handle not only the mediations but the administrative support for that, and they seem to do a really great job, and the reviews suggest that as well. So I don't know what the volume will particularly look like, but 2 or 3 FTE, I think, can fully handle it here in Oregon.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kutcher.
Other questions? Senator Johnson?
This may be a question for one or both of you co-chairs. This this position will come out of the governor's budget? Maybe the LFO professional staff who just gave me the grimace.
I wasn't, co-chairs and Senator Johnson, I wasn't sure if you were being serious or not. I don't know. Currently, the residence of the advocate would be in the Secretary of State's office unless the Secretary of State did not provide a residence, and then it would be residing in DAS. So I assume it'd be in DAS's budget, but there's no fiscal at this time because there's no work session.
Well, we also have the challenge that John Borden has given us, or the co-chairs have given us a small allowance of general fund to use as we see fit, and we're trying to figure out where those ad backs are going to be, and this would probably compete for those dollars.
Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out, and I'm obviously asking it very maladroitly, as the costs roll up in future biennia, whose budget will this be a general fund obligation? Will it come out of the...
Well,
I see.
Yeah.
We'll have to do some research on it and get back with everybody.
I see.
Okay.
So, well, actually, if I can, Mr. Chair, in the fiscal analysis in OLIS, it says the governor's budget includes $633,000 general fund for the new positions, principal executive manager G and operations and policy analyst 4. So that seems to be say that would be from it's expected to come out of the governor's budget.
Okay.
I'd like to visit with the co-chairs.
I would just appreciate some clarity on that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Rep. Newman. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Next, we have Nick. Sir, you have to forgive me. I'm not going to attempt to stab at your last name because I'm not able to figure out the letters. Looks like you have a B, but it looks like it could be a D.
No worries. Thank you. Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Manning and Smith. Members of the committee, my name is Nick Budnick. I'm a member of the Oregon Territory Chapter of Society of Professional Journalists, and that's who I'm here to speak on behalf of today. Thank you for hearing our testimony. SB 106 is the first of what we hope will be two bills to come before you, two legs of the three-legged stool that you've heard so much about. We think both of them would be tremendous investments that would actually save the state and local governments money. And let me talk about that a little bit. I don't think you've heard about this from other people, but this will not shock you, but there's some waste in the public records process. People that request records, including some reporters, including this reporter, occasionally ask for things in a more broad way than we need to. Sometimes agencies do not engage with that requester to narrow that request to figure out what they really want. And there are entire books devoted to this subject that reporters actually buy that talk about how we can engage with agencies and figure out how to make our requests the most cost-efficient possible, so that we're getting the public's information to inform the public and doing it in a way that doesn't impede the workings of government any more than necessary, which we believe this is a core function of government, actually. But so this bill is relevant to that because a central state office that facilitates better workings of the law by providing resources, mediation, training to the public and officials could help actually eliminate a significant amount of that waste, in my view, and foster sort of a model of engagement that helps people work through this, what can be an adversarial relationship to cut waste. So that's why we support this bill, and we support all efforts to set up an advocate to try and make the system work better. So the reality is that beyond all that is, in this, even in this adversarial situation that we have now, that some DAs and some AGs take it upon themselves to actually play that role when they can, when they have time, to say, listen, do you realize what you're asking for? Do you realize the unintended consequences of what you're doing? And say to the state agency, meanwhile, why are you not releasing these records? Having that third party that a requester can trust, that the agency can trust, really goes a long way towards fostering trust in government, which we think is very important. So, which brings me to my next point, which is, while your job today is to talk about the costs of these, or think about the costs of these measures, we'd also like you to think about the costs of not passing these measures. We believe that timely transparency helps ensure the public's trust in the checks and balances of government, and we often hear from public employees about how transparency helps them prevent waste and prevent bad decision making. So we hope to soon be able to talk to you about another leg of the three-legged stool, which is House Bill 2101, which would potentially help improve the clarity and simplicity of Oregon public records law and help the public take advantage of it in a way that's less wasteful. So that's about all I have to say. I'm happy to take any questions.
Questions? Rep. Nierman.
Thank you, Chair Manning. So it might have been this committee. I'm also on the IT committee, and I kind of get it mixed up with this committee sometimes because sometimes the same players are in front. But we had the state CIO in front of us, and he talked about a vision of public records where you have the current system here, which is I'm an agency, and I have these public records, and you ask me for it and say, do you have X? I say, nope, don't have X, although I have something that looks really like X, and I'm probably not – I'm too busy, so I'm not going to share that with you. And then, so it's kind of a go fish exercise, and that's using his image, not mine, as compared to a push thing where you have, for instance, like OLIS or ORSTAR, where you just have a set of public records out there, and I don't have to ask anybody to go look up Representative Fahey's campaign finance information. I can just go get it, and I don't have to get that. It's disappointing to me that this statute doesn't envision a movement to that kind of pull situation there, where you have a public records advocate that has partly as their function mediation of the old system, the Go Fish system, and should you get that record or should you not? And this public records advocate doesn't have any definition of that kind of system where you would just go and they could creatively create opportunities for public records to be just accessed by people that just want them. Do you see that as a limitation of this law, or I mean, as a journalist?
Chairman, Representative, thank you for the question. It's actually a great question, and I think what is maybe not obvious about this bill is that it does lay the groundwork to tackle the kinds of things that you're talking about, and that is the Public Records Advisory Council that will be working very closely with the advocate, will be looking for improvements to state government. And it's specifically on the bureaucratic side, the response side. And I think I obviously can't predetermine what they're going to do, but as you point out, it's a very logical way to go, this process of open data and open records and get it up online. I think state government has already made tremendous improvements in that regard just in the last 5 years. And I imagine that this advisory council would continue to work on, and the advocate would continue to work on more of that.
Good. I hope so. I hope that's the result of this kind of legislation if it passes. People like me and hopefully people like you smell a little blood in the water and we want a little bit more to dine on than what we have. So.
Well, secrecy obviously raises questions, and it's if you want to ensure public trust, this is the kind of bill that seems like a great investment when you've got agencies spending, you know, tremendous sums of money on putting stuff out, but not putting out the kinds of things that you're talking about. I mean, I think one agency is employing like 15 positions, FTE, for just PR stuff. So a couple of positions on a bill like this, or House Bill 2101, seems like a great investment.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next, Becky Gladstone, please.
Sir, are you calling me?
Yes, Becky.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. Just a second here. Co-chairs, members of the committee, for the record, my name is echoing here. Becky Gladstone, League of Women Voters of Oregon, and I was not going to submit testimony because we already submitted for the earlier committee's hearing, but I'm not sure you've gotten that information, so I'd like to repeat some of it.
We everything has been uploaded to OLIS, so we've had chance to review it, so but please go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let me summarize here. With respect to one of the things that Representative Nierman said about gubernatorial appointments, one of the things I brought up earlier was that with this is a small council, and if they meet quarterly, if one or another person is absent, that changes the balance significantly of how decisions might be made. And so this would not be a statute problem. This would be a rules problem, I suspect. But it's one of the points that impressed me. And there aren't very many points that are left unaddressed in this well-articulated and heavily considered bill. I came to this cold. I was not on the council, whose work I can only admire because it was done so carefully and in such depth. But I was struck by the juxtaposition of the need for transparency and the need for protection for privacy. And I do love OLIS, and I love a website like Orastar where you can look up the information you need. I used to work as a campaign treasurer with Capital OnRamp, and Orastar is worlds ahead of it. But there's a lot of different information for which privacy needs to be protected. And I started reading through that, and it's when you look at the three bills everybody's referring to, this one is the advocate in the council, and the one that you're probably talking about would be more the policy bill, and then there the exemptions bill. So you'll be hearing about these soon. But when I was reading this, I was thinking, you brought up technology. One of the things that was really interesting to me was a New York Times editorial called "Should We See Everything a Cop Sees?" And there's this hugely intelligent guy up in Seattle who got really disgruntled, and he started making huge public records demands enough to break the bank. And it's a big concern. I mean, this committee talks about the data centers, and data is a big deal. If somebody starts making a huge, huge request, it could way overblow the ability of a budget to cover it. And sometimes that's through anger that could be managed with an advocate. Sometimes that's through ignorance of what do I really need to know. On the other hand, the transparency, do we address things in a timely fashion? Do we have a policy? That's the thing that will come in the other bill, is it 41, 2101, I forget. We like this bill. We hope you'll pass it. I'm not the person to give you the technical responses, but I try to do my homework. There are a lot of interesting implications. I love that there is provision with the council to come back to the legislature and say, We're learning on our feet, and we have recommendations for you as an ongoing process.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for hearing your testimony.
Questions from the committee? Thank you so much. Next up is Michael.
Chair Manning, co-chair Manning and co-chair Smith in absentia, Michael Crone from the Office of Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum here in support of the bill. I don't really think at this point there's a lot more to say about it substantively, but I'm here to talk, so I might as well say something. The two things I would emphasize here are, one, the ability of a position to make training materials that are going to be uniform available throughout the state. I think that is going to be in itself a huge assistance to people who are working in small governments, may not really have any idea what the requirements of this law are going into it, may not even know it exists before they take office, but to have resources for training is one of the things that I think will be a huge improvement as a result of this bill. And then the other one is the one that my friend Nick Budnick referred to, which is the ability to go to a third party, either as the person who's made a public records request or as the public body that's received the public records request, and get someone that both sides trust to diffuse a potentially contentious situation before it becomes contentious. I think something people don't really think about on either side of this is what does this particular request look like from the other side, given what they know and what I don't know. But if you're a newspaper reporter making a request of an agency you don't trust, and the agency that you don't trust responds to you that they don't have anything like what you're asking for, you're not necessarily going to accept that answer, right? Whereas you might accept it if you could get it with more of an explanation from a neutral third party. This to me is just kind of a really great way to go about that. Mr. Budnick says that our office does do that sometimes, and that is very true. But I think having someone dedicated to doing that work throughout the state of Oregon is going to be a huge improvement, a great resource for the people and for the government entities of the state. So we're in support.
Senator?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your testimony. Mr. Budnick says that your office does something.
I'm sorry, Senator Johnson. Yeah, so we do occasionally get involved in sort of trying to mediate public records requests before or even after they've become public records petitions, if it looks to us like something that was maybe a misunderstanding or
follow-up. But you'd only be acting on the part of the state.
Senator Johnson, Chair Manning, that's not entirely correct. I mean, the Attorney General has an interesting role in the public records law, which is that if an agency has denied a request, that denial can be appealed to our office. And our job at that point is not to represent the interests of the state agency, but to give what we believe is the correct answer under the law. So we play a sort of a quasi-judicial role in this context, and as a consequence, if someone has sent us a petition and it looks like something that we ought to be able to resolve by having a conversation with the state agency, we may well be telling them we think they're wrong and can't they just resolve this.
Okay. Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
But you would only be, I mean, this is the first time that I have ever heard the AG's office suggest that they would be acting on behalf of a private Oregonian in a mediation setting. That's startling new news to me.
Senator Johnson, I think I must have said whatever I said very inelegantly for that to be your takeaway. All I'm saying is that in this context, we have a role of being a neutral decision maker on the law. So we're not necessarily defending the position the state agency wants to take. Our job here is to call the law as we see it. And we do view that as a service to the state. It's in fact a role that has been given to us by the legislature. And we think that our job in that regard is to actually implement the state's statutory policy under the public records law, but it's very different than what we might do if we were defending a, you know, tort claim against a state agency, for sure. It is a unique, in many ways, role for our office.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
And the last person I have on the list is Scott. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Co-Chair Manning, Co-Chair Smith, for the record, Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities, and I'm appearing in support of Senate Bill 106. I would draw your attention to Section 2, Subparagraph 6 of the bill, which is specifically calls out cities. Under that section, a city and a requester, upon a mutual agreement of both parties, could utilize the dispute resolution services offered in this bill. Our city recorders were supportive of that when they reviewed it. Some of the requests we get are from city land is from people who are in conflict with the city. That could be an emotionally charged situation. Having that third party mediate these requests is something that we would regard as beneficial. It can assist in narrowing the request to get the targeted information and reduce the number of cases that we see going before the DAs.
Are there any questions? Thank you. Thank you very much. I believe that staff had some things that you want to share with us.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just wanted to clarify in response to Senator Johnson's question. I misspoke and said that the public records advocate would reside in the Secretary of State's office. It's actually the state archivist is where that they would reside, and then if the state archivist declined that opportunity, then they would live in Dallas.
Okay. I should have been more precise, and we're using terms in a kind of fluid way, live at. I'm trying to figure out when we do the roll-up, where's the S&S? I'm trying to figure out whose budget this would be heard in the next round of budget negotiations. That's what I'm getting at, not physically where they'd sit.
Absolutely, sir. I'll get that.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm the CFO analyst. The BAM analyst for the Secretary of State. I might be able to answer some questions if you have questions about where the positions would roll up.
We want to let staff go ahead and work that out. I think the LFO will work that out and get back with us. Thank you. So we'll have LFO do a follow-up, make sure that you supply the information to everybody on the committee itself. Mm-hmm. And the only purpose of this was to hold a public hearing on this. I see no one else on the list at this time for a public hearing, nor further business in front of us at this point, or any questions or concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. I've heard this in general government and accountability for the Senate, so this comes back to me for the second time. I'm trying to decipher through budgets and see what we have left. I'm not supportive of the bill for the $700,000 when I look at the things until we see exactly what's left after we do the budget process. So I just wanted to state that I voted no in committee, and I'll still be a no on this. Thank you.
Okay. And again, we're just holding a public testimony or public hearing right now. So we are going to close a public hearing on SB 106 and relating to the Public Accountability and Administration of Public Records Law. And with no further business at this time, we will be adjourned and we will reconvene.